pastor friend of mine in the conference told of a humorous story about a softball umpire. He'd go around the league and he would be good umpire. One day during the off season, this unfortunate umpire got stopped by a police officer for speeding. He pleaded for mercy. He explained to the policeman that he was a good driver, and he told him this particular day why he was in a hurry. The officer looked at him and said, "Tell it to the judge." Well, when softball season rolled around again, the umpire was umpiring his first game. Guess who was the first batter? Yep, the police officer, who ticketed him for speeding. They recognized each other, but didn't say anything. It was a little awkward. So the umpire said, "So how did the thing with your ticket go?" He said, "You better be prepared to swing at the first pitch." With a mincing look on his face, the umpire replied, "Well, better thinking. You better swing on every pitch." You could see the umpire was starting to get his revenge. Sometimes revenge can be deliciously sweet, though. I don't know why that is, but sometimes it is. And when you try to convince somebody against their will, they'll be of the same opinion still. But that vengeance is not a satisfactory response. Being hurt, especially to those who follow Christ, but neither is carrying around a lifetime of hurt feelings. The answer is always forgiveness. But how do we forgive? That's what I wanted to look at this morning. How do we forgive? How can we get the power to forgive someone who has hurt us deeply? How do we overcome these painful emotions and reconcile with someone who has done us wrong? And that's what the lesson is for the day. How do we go about forgiving? Peter said, "Lord, how many times should I have to forgive my brother and my sister who sins against me? Seven times?" Jesus said, No, Peter. That's a sincere question. But he wanted to know what the master expected of him. The prominent rabbis of the day were teaching that one should forgive someone who has done us wrong three times. Was that enough? Peter wondered. So he asked Jesus this important question. "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Now, some of us would like to have that answer to our question. Forgiveness is a big problem in our lives. I think all of us would admit to that. I know I have been challenged with that in my life. And sometimes I still get challenged with it. There's been persons who've wronged us. And it's difficult sometimes to let go of those feelings of anger, resentment, and even hatred. So how many times should we forgive someone? Especially family members. Jesus answered, "Well, I tell you not seven times, but 70 times seven." Now, that's a demanding stance to forgive somebody that many times. And some of us feel it's asking too much of mere mortals to be able to forgive somebody that many times. Yet Jesus, believe it or not, was looking out for our best interest. Because forgiveness to our benefit as much as the person who has injured us. One question for the day. How do we forgive? Because forgiveness is a redemptive act. It's essential to our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual well-being. It's not just enough to simply act civil towards a person who has wronged us. By letting bygones be bygones, as we would say, we got to move on from our hurt to reconciliation. No, that's that Ralphie word again. Repent, forgiveness, reconciliation. We repent, turn, we forgive, but when it comes to reconciliation, we fall short many, many, many times. We don't want to open that wound again, but how do we forgive? Think about this. Why do we find it so hard to forgive? Obviously, there's one answer. That is, the pain is simply too deep sometimes to forgive. There's a man whose name has become synonymous with forgiveness. a famous bishop from South Africa, Desmond Tutu. And after the final defeat of apartheid in South Africa, apartheid was where the whites controlled that whole part of South Africa, and the black people at that day was put in jail and all kinds. It was crazy if you remember that situation. Tutu set up the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, by which black persons in that country could publicly forgive those who had done them serious harm. It was one of the most stunning events in history. Literally, people who had family members tortured and murdered by police confronted the officers who had committed these crimes and publicly forgave them. Maybe that's the reason that Desmond Tutu could be so effective in the role that he had to deal with himself, with a very personal battle of forgiving someone who had harmed him that he loved. He wrote a book that was entitled The Book of Forgiveness. Bishop Tutu, I can't say that word today for some reason. You know what I mean, though. He tells of a story as a young boy that he had to watch helplessly his father verbally abused and physically abused his mother. He said that he can still recall the smell of alcohol coming from his lips, and he can still see the fear in his mother's eyes. He can still feel that hopeless despair that comes when we see people that we love hurting each other in an incomprehensible way. He said that he would not wish that experience on anyone, especially not a child. He continues to write in his book, "If I dwell on those memories, I can feel myself wanting to hurt my father in the same way he hurt my mother, in ways which I did not understand as a small boy. I see my mother's face, and I see this gentle human being who I love so much and who did nothing to deserve the pain that was inflicted on her. And when I recall this story," he says, "I realize how difficult the process of forgiving truly is. Intellectually, I know my father caused pain because he was in pain. Spiritually, I know my faith tells me that my father deserves to be forgiven by God and by all of us. But it is difficult. The trauma that we witness or experience in our memories kind of just stay there. Even years later, they can cause us fresh pain each time we recall them." Some of us might be able to relate to Bishop's experience with an abusive parent, or may have been a teacher or a friend or a sibling or a spouse who abused us, but somewhere along the way, somebody has hurt us deeply, and we can still feel the pain. For some, the pain's so intense that it's simply easier to cut off that person from our lives. Do away with them. Not even be bothered with them. And that's an easy way out. That is one reason it is difficult to forgive, because the pain at times is too deep. Pride can also get in the way of forgiveness, as it does a mistaken principle. We think of ourselves, "Ha, I'll teach them a lesson. I won't like them." Now, there's family members and friends who may encourage our estrangement. Sometimes the family and friends say, "Nah, you don't need to bother with him. Don't just, gone. After what he's done to you, you deserve not forgiving him." They probably mean well, and they may not understand our own need for healing. That's where it comes. Forgiveness is a two-way street. Our own need for healing, pain, pride of other people, usually the reasons why we don't forgive. And our inability to forgive can be devastating effects on us as well as on others. Holding on to resentment, holding on to those feelings can shorten our lives, poison our memories, weaken our relationship with God, and even affect our own self-worth and our own feelings. This, in addition to damage the relationship with the person that we cannot forgive. I always liked what my friend John Riley, who was down to Calvary Church last week, celebrating their homecoming and having a little ministry. He had always said, you know, God says that we got to love one another, we got to forgive one another, but that doesn't mean that we always have to go fishing with them, but we got to love them. Several years ago, there was a book that came out titled, To Forgive is Human and How to Put Your Past in the Past. And it was written by three medical doctors who evaluated the various benefits that come when you move past resentment to forgiveness. These are the three benefits that they found. First of all, when you let go of past hurts and learn to forgive, there's a physical benefit. Attitude of bitterness, hostility, and resentments are like poisons and toxins in your body. Chronic anger and hostility can be more toxic to your health than some of the chemicals that we put in our body. More toxic even sometimes is being a smoker or heavy eating on a fat diet. Secondly, there's psychological benefit to forgiveness. People with anger, bitter thoughts become angry, and bitter people held hostage by their own bitterness. And finally, there's a relational benefit. Any time you move to forgiveness towards someone you consider an enemy, you open the door to potential, hear this word, reconciliation. Because Jesus said, where two or more gather, then I also in the midst. Who is the perfect person to help us reconcile is God Almighty. Because he reconciled the world to himself through Christ. Call upon the Holy Spirit to help you work through reconciliation. Let it go. First of all, by recognizing forgiveness is a precious gift from God. We have been forgiven. It's just like that parable that Jesus taught about the king and the fellow that owed him so much money. We have been forgiven, so we should be able to forgive others. Jesus followed his answer to Peter with a delightful parable that we shared of a man who owed a king 10,000 bags of gold, to kind of put it into perspective in our day and time. In some of the translations, it talks about a smaller amount, and in the New Living Translation talks about thousands and millions. And so, but gold, if you take gold and average in $1,000 an ounce, which is more than that now, but using that as just a rule of thumb, that parable, the man who owed the king a bag of gold, say it sells for $1,000 an ounce, that would be 10,000 bags of gold, which would be worth a lot of money, maybe trillions. Amazingly, the king forgave this man this enormous debt. And the second thing is this, that same man who had been forgiven this enormous debt had an acquaintance who owed him 100 silver coins. You can see the comparison, perhaps worth just a few hundred dollars. And this very man had his enormous debt discharged by the king, but he could not forgive that man that only owed him a small amount. To make matters worse, he had this acquaintance thrown in jail, debtor's prison. The contrast could not have been starker. A man had been forgiven trillions of dollars. He was unwilling to forgive a debt that maybe was only a few hundred dollars. Now, Jesus was not simply telling about one man in one particular place. He was talking about you and me. We've all been forgiven by God, thanks be to God. We're all sinners saved by grace. We have been forgiven an enormous debt. If we can see that, then it can become a powerful antidote to our feelings and resentment over wrongdoing that somebody has done to us. We remember just how much God has forgiven us and that we're able to forgive others. I get dreams lately. I don't know why. I don't know what they mean, but I've been dreaming crazy dreams. I even dreamed a couple weeks ago about a couple of business partners that I had one time in my life that did me wrong. And I don't know if there was a preacher teaching about dreams yesterday or the day before. Dreams either come from the devil or they come from God, and you got to discern them. And I've forgiven these people, but in that dream, I was doing a little bit of resentment and punishing back. But in reality, I have forgiven them, thanks be to God. But it's tough. There's a little boy who had done something very naughty. His mother was quite disturbed with his behavior. And in the kitchen, we got a blackboard that I want to put in the kitchen by the phone, but Judy won't let me put it up. But she had a blackboard in her kitchen, and they would write down with phone messages and so forth. They write those messages on the chalkboard. But when no one was around, this little boy who's been causing Mom a lot of trouble, he wrote on the blackboard, "Dear Mom, if you forgive me, please wipe out this message." Wow. He went to his room. About an hour later, he came back out to the kitchen, and to his great joy, he discovered the chalkboard had been completely erased. That's what God has done for you and for me. Can we not do the same thing for people who have hurt us? We forgive because God has first forgiven us. In the second place, we need to recognize that forgiveness is the most powerful witness that we have to the activity of grace in our life. Forgiveness is a powerful witness to us proclaiming to be Christians. C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist at one time, became one of the greatest scholars and greatest writer of Christian stories and allegories. C.S. Lewis struggled for many years to forgive a childhood teacher who made life miserable for him. And just before his death, he wrote a letter to a close friend in which he said, "Do you know, only a few weeks ago, I realized suddenly that I had at last forgiven that cruel schoolmaster who was so darkened in my childhood. I've been trying to do it for years, and each time I thought I'd done it, after a week or so, it would well up again, and I was tempted to just let hate about it. But I kept on forgiving. And finally, I have felt the real thing, forgiveness." C.S. Lewis was one of the most influential. He was one of the greatest Christian writers of the 20th century, yet he was a human being. He struggled to forgive this headmaster, but he knew that his witness for Christ would not be completely authentic unless he somehow managed to forgive this one who had caused him so much pain. That he was finally victorious in his testimony to the power of Christ's amazing grace. From there are some wrongs that can only be righted with divine help. It's just like John Newton, who wrote that hymn, "Amazing Grace," being a slave trader, doing terrible things, and when he finally realized and he accepted God into his life, he forgave. He went on to be a preacher, John Newton did, and he had a wonderful testimony. He was part of the movement in them early years that started in England to get rid of slavery. But for some of us, nurturing a grudge has become a deep spiritual problem, for it weakens our witness to Christ's presence in our lives. And besides the damage that it does to us personally, it prevents us from being effective in our ministry to others. So we need to recognize that forgiveness is a gift from God to be passed on to others, and that it's the most powerful witness that we have in the reality of God's grace in our own lives. And finally, we need to recognize forgiveness as a positive activity necessary to the healing and the wholeness of our own heart. Because if we don't forgive and receive forgiveness, we become a miserable puppy, for lack of a better term. Because we don't forgive just to forgive. We forgive so that we can have peace too. And in turn, the person that wronged us can experience that peace. Reader's Digest some time ago had an article. You don't see too many Reader's Digests around. I think now you only get them online. Maybe you can get them delivered. Does anybody get Reader's Digest anymore? Always interesting little book. And long time ago, they asked in one of the articles to complete this sentence: "I never regret." And you think about that for a moment. I never regret. Some of the readers responded this way. I never regret the day I quit smoking. I never regret taking naps and leaving large tips. I never regret serving my country. I never regret eating the last cookie. Then the last little response was this. I found this very interesting. I never regret forgiving the person who caused me pain, which gave me relief I never thought that I could have. This was a very wise person and a very smart person who learned about the power of forgiveness. I never regret forgiving the person who caused me pain, which gave me release that I never thought I could have. A Jewish philosopher said this once about these wise words. He said, forgiveness is the only power which can stop the stream of painful memories. Now we need to understand forgiveness is not passive. It's a resignation to a bad situation. We do not shrug our shoulders and say, well, there's nothing else I can do. I might as well forgive. There's a little healing in that kind of forgiveness. Forgiveness is positive, joyful. As crazy as that sounds, it is. It's a joyful event when we get rid of that stuff that we've been carrying around too. Seeing ourselves as victims to seeing ourselves as a victor. Receiving grace, love, and forgiveness allows us to move from weakness to strength. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Scripture, that when I am weak, he is strong. Forgiveness means for us to experience within our own lives that power and the presence of the indwelling Christ. The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when I go, I'll send one greater than I. The Paraclete, the one that will come alongside. The Holy Spirit who lives and teaches everything about me, Jesus says, and he will live in your heart, allowing you to have discernment. So think about this. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? I think about that a lot. Have I missed anybody? An unfaithful spouse, maybe? Overbearing parent? A friend who has stabbed you in the back at one time in your life? I know that pain. There may also be pride and principle and other people to consider. You see, the most powerful witness we have to the action of God's grace at work in our own lives. However, the ability to forgive others as we forgive, we heal not only the wounds of a broken relationship, we find healing for wounds inflicted in our own heart by anger, hurt, and resentment. God has forgiven each and every one of us. How many times do we say, and I know I do too, when I mess up and I do something I shouldn't be doing, I repent and I say, God, please forgive me. Give me wisdom and understanding and grace to handle these situations. We're capable. Can we not forgive one another? 3 times? 7 times? 70 times? 7? There's a freedom in asking for that forgiveness. There's an emotional and mental, spiritual freedom that only Christ can give. Ask Christ.